and every one tonight, and our burdens did go away.
Let's turn to Mark 9, verse 38 and 39. Mark 9, verse 38 and 39, praise God. And we want to continue on this morning from obsession and oppression. And I want to start tonight about God using all believers. All believers. Praise God. Mark 9, verse 38. And I quote this often. Some of us do quote this, but this is where the scripture is. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. Now, I want you to get that word, us. He didn't say he follows not you, but us. He follows not us. That's not really important that he doesn't follow us. But it's important that he follows Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we forbid him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the power of your word. We bless you, Lord, that you overcome the devil by the word. You spoke the word. You said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld your glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Father, this evening, may you come amongst us in this house tonight. May the devil be bound in Jesus' name. Bless all that's here tonight. Lord, any that couldn't be here, maybe work or something's happened, may you bless them and undertake for them in the name of Jesus. Heal James. Heal William. Heal others this evening that need thy healing upon them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Lord, I thank you that the Holy Ghost is poured out. And I receive it and take it afresh. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want you to see that the Bible, all through the Bible, there's different examples of people God used, more than just the 12, and more than just the 70. And we know that God had 12, and then we know he called another 70, and he breathed on them. And the Holy Ghost come on them, and they cast devils out. And when they come back, and they're rejoicing, he said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject, but rejoice rather that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. So it's more important that somebody gets saved than anything. That's what the Lord said. And here we see, here's a man here, and this fellow's not with us, they said. Not part of our group, not part of our organization. Maybe they'd never seen him before, but miracles was happening with him. Signs and wonders was following him. People were getting delivered. People were getting set free with this fella here. And they said, we forbid him. We're going to stop him. And Jesus told him never to do it. Don't stop him. Even though he's not with us. And there's so much of that today. Are you with us? Do you believe what we believe? Do you say it the way we say it? If you don't see it the way we see it, you're not in. But I have news for them. When the Lord puts you in, nobody can take you out. Amen. He sends you in, and when he sends you in, nobody can take you back out. You are sealed, the Bible says, unto the day of your redemption. That's the King's seal. You can't be lost once you're sealed. Now, you might be make-believers, that's a different story. But we're talking about real believers. This is real believers here. And Jesus said, such an one does not speak lightly of me. And and do these miracles. Jesus continually was going about healing the sick and casting out devils. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus was here and there, he I tell you what, the devil was sick looking at the Lord. Absolutely sick looking at him. I tell you, he troubled his kingdom.
Yes.
The Bible says he came to set captives free. That's his ministry.
Yes.
You remember the key saying, I always said, but it's a true one, his ministry's never changed. It's Hebrews 13:8. If Jesus' ministry was to cast out devils, if Jesus' ministry was to heal the sick, if that was Jesus' ministry everywhere he went, he did it, he hasn't stopped. He still does it. He still does it the same. His power is the same. His message is the same. His presence is still the same. Praise God. Whatever the Lord did 2,000 years ago, he can do tonight. Because he said in the book of Acts, here's how it talks, all that Jesus began, we're to continue. All that he began. If we say we believe the Malachi 4 messenger, that turns us back to the apostolic faith. That brings you to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book we need to read. The book of Acts is the book that the church is based on. The book of Acts is the foundation principle of all what we need to preach as Holy Ghost people. And it says in the book of Acts, all that Jesus began, we're to continue. And the promise is on to you, on to your children, that's them back then, on to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, us, me and you. So the promise of the Holy Spirit is to them, to their children, to them afar off, and right up to now. Still the same promise, still the same Holy Ghost. Whatever the Holy Spirit was able to do 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit is able to do tonight, because the Holy Spirit never changes. Jesus never changed. You remember the Holy Spirit is like Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm sending a comforter in my name. Amen. To continue the work. The Holy Spirit came to continue the work. Not just in one man, but in a many-membered body. And you're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's the mystical body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians teaches that. By one baptism into one body. And when you're baptized into the body, you're a member of the body of Jesus Christ. You're a member of it. And you're sealed in onto the day of redemption by the King's seal. In John 14:12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's Jesus Christ, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now I read this Wednesday night, I'm going to read it again. I hope that's alright. Because some people misinterpret what was said here. And they say it's fulfilled. And they say it's fulfilled in our day, and there's nothing more can be done about it. And they say we cannot use that scripture no more. Father told me that one time, and he said about Mark 16 as well, and I says, you know, I used to go to a church what believed that, and you know, I don't have to name them, but who they were, years ago. They said, we have the perfect canon of scripture, the gifts are done away with, the apostolic message is finished. But Brother Branham told him, he said, I can show you where God put it in the Bible, you cannot show me where he took it out. He said he put it in, he never took it out, and it's still here. The apostolic message is still here, the Holy Ghost is still here, the power of God is still here. Look what Brother Branham says. In the Queen of Sheba message, paragraph 59. What is the Bible? The truth, isn't it? It is the truth. If it isn't the truth, away with it. If it is the truth, believe it. Jesus made a promise. Little while the world won't see me no more. That word, cosmos, the Greek word which means the world order. Many times the church, so-called church, the world, they won't see me anymore. They can't see me. Yet ye shall see me. That's the church. Personal pronoun. I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. The works that I do shall ye do also, more than these shall ye do. Now the King James says greater, but if you look the right translation, how could it be greater? Jesus raised the dead, stopped nature, done everything more, because why? It'll be all you Son, Christ. Now he's in the church universal. Why? There's 10,000 times more being done now than there was when the days of Christ. Because here, we're going through somewhere here, another man's going through somewhere there, persecution here, another one's raising the dead over there, another one's opening the blind eyes over the world there. Right now, he's great church universal, hallelujah. Oh, you're going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so I might as well holler hallelujah. Because it means praise God. He's worthy of praises. He's here now after being dead. He's risen from the dead. So we see it's not greater because we remember I showed you a scripture once. Nobody can do greater than Jesus. The Bible says that. Now this fellow's telling me that there's a man done greater than Jesus. Now that statement in itself is false. Because here's why. No man did do it. Jesus done it in the man.
Amen.
So the start point was still Jesus. You get that now? So when somebody says a certain man done greater than Jesus, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't care how good the miracle is and who the man was God used. I appreciate all the men God used, but it was Christ in the man, not the man. Because when the boy comes to Jacko and he says, "Here, I'm looking for the healer," Jacko says, "Jesus is a father here looking at you." And he says, "No, no, I'm looking for the healer." And he says, "Jesus is somebody here looking at you." And he says, "I couldn't heal a fly if it had a headache, but Jesus can." And Brother Brown said, he said, "I can do nothing. I was only there when he came. It's him that does it, not me. He uses my lips, he uses my body, but he is the one doing it. Praise God. I'm just your brother," he says. But it's him doing it. That same power of God, that same Holy Ghost. "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." And the prophet explains it here, it means more. Because you've a fellow tonight, on the other side of the world, this morning time preaching, evangelism, people could be getting saved right now. People could be getting healed. How many know that's the truth now? Universal, everywhere, all over the world, the gospel's being preached. We're just a small group here. But there's churches everywhere, there's true believers everywhere, all over the world. And never think that nothing's happened nowhere, because you could get a big surprise. And it mightn't be with the people you think either. Just like this scripture I've read you, he's not with us. But what are they doing?
Amen.
If they're preaching the true word of God and signs and wonders is following them, don't go against it. Just say amen.
Amen.
Yes. Praise God. Christ has left us an example that we should follow his steps in 1 Peter 2:21. "For even here under were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." So who are we following? The Lord. No man. We're following the Lord. So it's not the us, it's him. It's not about I, it's about him. It's not the we, it's all about him. He's the center. That's why I don't like some of the modern songs. You go and you listen to some of these modern churches, modern songs, it's all about we and us and all the rest of it, and the Lord's never named. And even the whole song can sound good, all about love and all these things, but Jesus is never mentioned. You wouldn't know who the love's about. Could be about the neighbour next door, or the husband, or whatever, but it has to be the Lord. That's why these old redemption hymns, these things are inspired, you know. The Methodists, they wrote some wonderful hymns, you know that? Some wonderful hymns. It was John Wesley's brother, Charles Wesley. I tell you, his songs were inspired. God led him to do it. God, only God could do it. And only God could know right to this very day God would still use them songs.
Yes,
and just like preaching can be inspired, a song can be inspired. But it has to be the right kind of a song. Look at Philip in Acts chapter 8, verse 5. And I'm just showing you these examples what happens when you do what Jesus does. Acts 8 verse 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached the denomination unto them." You don't read that. Here's what you read. "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them." He preached Christ. Preached it. Verse 6. "And the people of one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." They just followed him. He never looked for them, they were there. Now you understand that? He never searched for it, it was there. Because he preached Christ.
Amen.
And when you preach Christ, it's automatically with it. Because God says he will confirm his word with signs and wonders and miracles. When you preach Christ. Now if you preach some other thing, I couldn't tell you, I can guarantee it, because I can't. But if you preach Christ, you can guarantee it's with it. Because it's the gospel power of God. And Brother Branham, time and time again, said what Paul said. He said, it's not just preaching, it's demonstrating the gospel. It's doing as well as saying, praise God. Look at verse 7 says, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Now that's people in this country. We know people that have palsy and they're lame still. And there was great joy in that city. So if God, through the preaching of an evangelist, healed palsy, God, through the preaching of an evangelist today, if he preaches the same way, can heal palsy again. And if somebody says he can't, they're saying God's changed. And I'll argue with that, because he's not changed. Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. His presence, his message, his power is the same. I tell you, it's something when you begin to preach and the power of God begins to fall and demons begin to cry out. I've seen it many times. And as you preach the word of God and the anointing comes stronger, even sometimes if you're in a church for this worship, sometimes during the worship the demons can manifest and cry out. And they'll even sometimes imitate gifts. But you don't have to worry, how will I know the difference? Because your spirit within you will know. Your spirit, birth witness with his spirit, we are the sons of God, just doesn't sit right. Someone just doesn't sit right, and you know that's a demon. And I saw it in Manchester. I saw for the power of God fell, one woman gave tongues interpretation, it was 100% right. Another one gave it, it was a demon. And as I left the platform and went towards that young woman, the demon cried out in terror, screaming out of her. But people were near terrorized with the noise of it. You want to hear it? In a big massive church. But on the Sunday services I preached about the resurrection power of God. And I tell you, the power of God came down because the gospel was preached. I believe when you preach about the power of the blood of Jesus and you preach about how Christ rose from the dead, God likes that. I believe that. He likes it because that's what he says to preach. You don't need the handshake agreement to get permission for that one. God gives you it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Till every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God also used Stephen. Listen to this. God used Stephen. God used Ananias. And many others who were not apostles. God used them. So God has special men. We know that. We know God is special men. Paul was a special man. William Branham was a special man. Wigglesworth was a special man. But laying aside special men, God uses the ordinary person. What about when the prophet of God was having a prayer line and there's a sister in the meeting and this sister felt to pray for a baby? And there was a baby with a woman sitting beside her with a little baby wasn't too well. And she says, sister, would you mind if I prayed for the baby? Now what you understand, this woman's in a meeting where there's a mighty prophet of God and they know that. And you know the things, what happened in them services. And she thought, you know, like it's just me sort of thing. But God, the Holy Spirit, led her to pray for the baby and she prayed for the baby. And when that baby came in the prayer line before God's prophet, he stopped and he said, that child's already healed. And he said, that woman right back there prayed the prayer of faith. He said, sister, God heard your prayer. The child's healed. I don't need even pray for it. God's no respecter of persons. And then the same Bible says Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was only a man. Though he was used, he was still a man. And he prayed earnestly on reading that for 3 months. 3.5 years. That's a lot more than 3 months, isn't it? That's 36 months out of 42 months. Isn't that right? 42 months, no reading. Boys, I'll tell you, I mind one time praying here for God to give us a real blessing in summer. And some people started complaining after a few weeks. I remember working for a farmer in 1984, never forget it. And it was a blistering summer, and I didn't pray for it, it just came. So don't think I prayed for these hot summers, it didn't. But it happened. But this fellow blew grass for his cattle. And me and him went away till a boy that sold treacle. We bought the treacle. And we had good, real good, clean barley straw. We put the barley straw out in the field, and we put the treacle over the barley straw for the milking cows to eat it, because there's no grass. I never forget it. And the heat burnt the grass. Now you imagine 42 months, no rain. And then you imagine that man prays again, and the rain comes. Amen. I'll tell you, people, when you knew about it, that was a sign. Isn't it interesting that it's 3.5 years? The exact time of the tribulation. Ever think of that? Everywhere you cover a number in the Bible, it means something. It always means something. The sevens are 3.5, so it always means something. And here this man preached Christ, and look at the end result. There was great joy in the city. But I tell you, when somebody's been bound and they get released, there's joy. Great joy. When they get freedom. I tell you something, the devil wants to keep people away from deliverance meetings. You'd better believe me now. He never wants nobody to get to the deliverance meeting. He can go to holy huddles and coffee shop bars and all that stuff. But he never would want nobody to get to deliverance meeting. You see, there's a chance they'll get free in deliverance meeting. But you can have all the coffee bars and all the soup suppers that they talk about. And Brother Brown talked about, you know, all them different things. And nobody will ever get free. But it's a preaching of the gospel we need. I say this morning, more power in Elijah's bones, more power in Peter's shadow, more power in the handkerchiefs and aprons took upon. There isn't many churches today. Look, when Brother Branham visited Durban, South Africa, and he said when they brought him in, people got out of the crutches and he never preached a word of bread for them. The power of God visited. You say, where would the scripture be for Malachi? Says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. That's what I believe. And Brother Al Connor talked to two men in America, and he said that during that time of that revival power that visited the earth through the 50s to 60s, he said that they themselves emptied wings in hospitals, praying for people, and they were all healed and all delivered. But he said, they didn't change the preaching, went back in, and never happened the same. God visits. There's times of visitation. How many believes that? It's like a family coming in under salvation. God can move in a family, and almost all of them get saved in a year. Then it stops. But it doesn't mean you stop praying or preaching. No, you continue on and believe God can do it again. But you see, the Bible talks about missing the day of your visitation. And many people have denied what God's already done. And when people deny the thing that God's done, God, you know, it's like, you know, you do something for somebody to deny. You're not quick to do it again, are you? But God's merciful. God is rich in mercy. But where there's faith, God will move. No matter who denies it. Where there's faith in the Word of God, God will always honor faith. Always. God will honor faith. In the Bible we learn that devils can walk, talk, cry, preach, stand, sing, rest, and torment people. They can do all that. The Bible says transform the angels of light, but the devils. Doctrines of demons. Look at the way how the Bible talks. There are more demons than we can number. And they're everywhere I'll even possess them. Look with me to Mark 5, verse 8. And I preach from this scripture, this is only one place. You know, when you study the Gospels, there's one scripture that says, a man. What had a legion? Then there's another one that says, two men. Somebody says they made a mistake. No, they didn't. There was two occasions. That's what I believe. It's like when you first read about the fish. And one Bible says 5,000, one says 7,000. And I showed you one night. So a fellow said to me one day, them two fellows must have made a mistake. I said, no, they didn't. It's two occasions. Because in one place it's Jews and one place it's Gentiles. And one place to take up 12 apostles representing Israel, one place to take up 7 representing Gentiles. God makes no mistakes. What's that saying? That's saying God's going to save the Jews and the Gentiles. We which were not a people are now the people of God. And when God finishes up with us, which we're near at the end of that time span and the clock of God, as it were, God's turning to the Jews. And he's going to save them. And he's going to seal 144,000 of them, and they're going to hear the same Pentecostal message. Do you know that? That's what they're going to hear. That we hear. Mark chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. For he said unto them, come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered him, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And in that young woman that I prayed for, the devil started to talk out of her. And I told him, what's your name? And he told me his name. And I told him his name in another language. That didn't bother me at all, because I talked back to him in another language. That confused him. But it's serious. Sex came in Africa, a demon spoke out of a woman, and you know what he said, brother? He said, I've been here since she was a very young woman, and I'm not coming out. And nobody could get that demon out. But I want you to know, when I turned the corner, it was nothing to do with me. When I turned the corner of the school, he met me there. That's all I can tell you. The same one that met me in the jail, met me in that corner. And I tell you, I knew the power of God was there. And an authority. And that devil spoke out and he told me, this is a famous place near Machingo where there's witchcraft. He said, that's where I'm from and I'm not coming out. And I told him, hold your peace and come out right now. And when you get back over there, tell him I'm coming. That's what I told him. There was a boldness on me. And God delivered that woman 70 years old to, maybe over it. God completely freed her. And she had a wee snuff pouch and all in her pocket. And her knees know the testimony. And she'll back up to the mountains and the churches are in the day because of one woman. How God delivered her. And that demon come out of her. And therefrom she's a young woman. You know there's so many rape cases, suicide cases, all cases like that. And people get demon possessed. They never get free. The devil comes upon people. And they can go to counselling here, there and yonder. I know people. And they go counselling here, they go counselling there, they go counselling yonder. They're wasting money. If they come to Jesus Christ one time, they'll be free. Because the devil must obey the name of the Lord. Jesus has stripped him. He stripped him at Calvary of his power. He took the keys of death, hell and the grave off the devil. And he says, I give you power over the power of the enemy. Now you do have to live right. Else the devil will call you bluff. And that's for every one of us. You have to be right with God. Living in the right place with God. But when you are, God will do it. Look at this, verse 11. Now that we're there, look, here it is. Let me go back in verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered him, saying, my name is Legion. And you know what Legion means? A company or an army between 6,000 and 3,000. That's how many. A legion of demons. Isn't that something? But Jesus cast every one of them out. You say, that's what a legion means. Between 3,000 and 6,000. For we are many, they even said they were. For we are many. Verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. These are the devils. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Jesus gave them leave. They couldn't do a thing, but he said it. What did they get that? That's the power the Lord had. They couldn't do one thing till the Lord said it. You see, this is what I'm telling you now. When you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the man that spoke the world. From nothing. You're talking about the man that created these spirits. And they have to obey him. And when a child of God's living right and praying up, he gives you the same authority that in his name you can cast out devils. You should have no fear of them. Some people in Manchester, I could discern they had a fear of demons. And I told them that you, the devil should fear you. Not the other way around. You shouldn't go to your bed at night fearing and trembling over a devil. You know, one of the great preachers, I think it might have been... he came out of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther. Was it Luther? Luther was waking one night and he said the devil was standing in the room. And Luther pulled his, he turned around and he said, "It's only you," and he went back to sleep. That's true, that's what they say. T.O. Osborne went to pray for a man one time. And T.O. Osborne whispered into the man's ear, he said, "This is T.O. Osborne," and the devil came out of him. That's right. I have records. A records. The child's grandfather gave me of T.L. Osborne praying for people on them. And the demons can be heard on the records, screaming out in terror. We've long forgot, you see, the way God used to work. And there's been so much teaching and all this fancy stuff and the devil runs in under it.
Yes, that's right.
But you need one of them, you know, things up like one of them special radars. If he moves, dead. He's caught right away. That's what we need in the church. The Holy Ghost so powerful amongst us that it detects anything. Deal with it. Verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And I didn't even realize it said 2,000 there, but I looked it up, and the legion said 3,000 to 6,000. It says here 2,000.
2,000 pigs.
2,000 pigs. Would you imagine 3,000 devils? 2,000 pigs. One time William Branham preached this and he said the pig trade was finished. Some of you are saying praise God. I know some of you weren't fond of the pig trade. Some people I know won't eat pig. And that's, you know, pig's not really that good to eat, really, you know, if you study it. Meat's good, chicken's good, fish is good. A fellow said to me, "Brother Tom, but swims or flies, and as a split this roof here." But the Jew won't eat a pig. No chance. He won't eat pig. Amen. I know if we pray over it, we can eat the old pig. It's nothing like a piece of bacon, really, sure is not. That burnt, you know, crisp in the morning, brother, you on the big egg on it. Praise God. But the pig trade here was cancelled. And they ran them down into the water and drowned all the pigs. You know, there's a man, a neighbour of mine, and he says to me, "I want you to come and see this bull." And this bull, this neighbour of mine and this bull, and you fellas at farm, you know, this thing, I used to think when, you know, when I was younger and somebody had an Aberdeen Angus, you know, it's, but they weren't pig. But you know the Aberdeen Angus today, them pigs are massive. They're big as any other bull, really. Well, this fellow, a neighbour of mine, says to me, "Tom, you'll not believe it." He says he deliberately waited till he got me in the middle of the field. Then he came on me. He says he knew what he was doing. He wanted to kill me. And this bull was about 4, maybe 5 year old, and he almost got him. And he ran, and this man's about 6'2" or 6'3", and he ran, and he jumped through a hedge, and he fell down a big drop. He hurt himself to get away from the bull. The bull almost terrorised him.
And this man's had cattle all his life, brought up farming and everything. And he brought me up to see this bull, and he says, "Now you be careful." He's locked up, but you still be careful. And I looked over the fence, and I looked at him, and I knew, looking in his eyes, something wasn't right. I could see it in his eyes. And there was just an evil in that bull's eyes. I could see it in him. And he had to send him off to the meat factory, or wherever they go with him, you know. And he weighed over a ton weight. He was massive. I couldn't believe an Angus bull would be as big. He was absolutely massive. And he tried to kill him. Now what do you think of that? And William Bradham went into a feed. And he said there was a sign, but he says he missed it. And the sign says dangerous bull, and he names the amount of people that had already killed. And he says it's come for him. And he thought, that's me finished, what am I going to do? But he says love kicked in. The love of God come on him. And he said he apologised to the bull. And he says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Bull, I've, you know, come into your territory as it were." And the bull never touched him. I know a fellow one time, and he took that quotation and he took the other quotation, you know, for them wasps or whatever the word come out of the thing, they're going to sting him to death. And he said again, he hit the thing with a lawnmower. And I knew a fella that lived in Scotland, Sister Carr would know him, a wee small preacher man. And he said the dog run after him and he tried that and the dog bit him. But you can't try it unless perfect love protects. But you see these fellas, and you see they can't forgive their own brother. Then things are never going to happen. They're not happening. There has to be a genuine love, not a put on. A genuine love. Jesus had a genuine love. God so loved the world. And when that genuine love comes on a person, and you know, when you have genuine compassion for somebody, you understand what I'm saying. If you ever pray for somebody, say you yourself went through a hardship. If you've ever been through a hardship, or you've had a situation in your life that something terrible has happened, and you've come through it, you have a real respect for that when you meet somebody else with it. And you can pray a prayer for them better than somebody that never experienced that. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can go in their shoes in a way. And you have to have compassion for the people. And a genuine love, not some make-believe thing, but the real thing, God will do it. God will do it. I knew a man in Africa, and one of them big massive, you know them big elephants, the big bull elephant, they're absolute, I don't know what weight they are, they're massive. And that thing charged him down, and he was dead as anything. And he said that the presence of God just came over him, and he just shouted, "Stop!" with a loud voice, and it just stopped still. And that thing stopped still. But I also seen films of other people, and the thing hit them and it almost killed them. But when there's genuine love, God can do it. God's power over creation. The Lord has power over creation. When Jesus, the bit I didn't read this, but you go back into this story. This is a wonderful story here for Jesus cast these demons out. But if you go back in that story, you'll know the Lord was going over in the boat and he fell asleep. Crossing over. And a storm came up and the disciples feared for their lives. And I love what an old preacher once said. He says, Jesus rose. And he said, "Did you ever tell a dog to lie down?" I'm sure you have. I have. Nothing as bad as an old dog keeps you up all night barking and yapping. You put your head out the window and say, "Lie down! How dirt you." You ever do that? Tell the truth now, haven't you? And he said, when Jesus rose up in the boat, it was like that. Telling an old dog to lie down, he just said, "Peace be still." And there was a great calm. The creation obeyed him. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Creation obeys him. It obeys his voice. And you see, we can read about these men God used, but it's down to us as individuals to come into a place for God. For the Bible says the sons of God are waiting for the manifestation of wit, groaning and travailing for a manifestation of the sons of God, the real power of God. When you come into the place of God, look, but our time's gone, I'm going to have to stop in a moment. Matthew 9:33 says this, and when Jesus was cast, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, dumb. And I tell you, think of it, Jesus can cause a dumb to speak. He says that's a devil. It's a devil. It's wonderful, you know, when it was in Uganda or Kenya, it was in the meeting in Kenya, where there was a young woman and her mother sitting at the front, and the Lord opened her eyes right in the meeting. Yeah. Totally blind. And God opened her eyes. And another man paralyzed, and God completely healed him. Right in the meeting. And by the time he got from the back to the front of that meeting house, he was healed. No hands was laid on him. God healed him. It was spoke over him. And those steps up the platform, when he got up them steps, he realized he was healed. And he was beside himself. So he went back down the steps and back up them, and back down and back up them, back down and back up them two or three times. And he couldn't hardly believe it himself. And he couldn't even put his own coat on. Somebody had to help him. He was paralyzed down one side. God completely healed him. That's what the power of God can do. I tell you, the Lord's real. The demons all knew Jesus. That's Christ. And they recognized him. The power to cast them out. And his authority. I want to read this, then I'm going to close. Matthew 8, verse 29, it says this. And behold, he cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee? Matthew 8, verse 29. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the time? The devil's time's short. It's almost up. And he knows, and them demons know it. And Acts 19, verse 11 to 15, I close after reading this. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Verse 13 of Acts 19. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had an evil spirit the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And I heard a devil saying that recently. You don't start to tell the devil where to tell you who I am. You just preach who Jesus is. And the anointing comes, he'll take care of it. Not important who I am or who you are. It's important who he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that your power is the same. Your anointing is the same. Your anointing destroys the yokes, it breaks the yokes, and sets the captives free. Because of the anointing, the yokes are broken. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, your word says, the Spirit of the Lord God was upon me, because he hath sent me, he hath anointed me, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to bring deliverance to the captives, the opening the prison doors to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bound and bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have never changed. Your power is still the same. You remain the same. You showed us again that you were the same. Lord, you showed it in a man in the 20th century. You showed it again that you were the same. Lord, that man said that you young ministers take heart. These signs will follow the true believers. And your word says it. We believe your word tonight. We believe you're still the same. We believe your power is the same. We believe your arm's not short and your ear's not heavy. But you can hear and you can answer and you can deliver by few or by many, for you are the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will manifest yourself to your people in a greater measure. Lord, that we might know you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name.
Visit us in the night time. Visit us in the daytime. Lead us into deeper prayer life with you. Help us to seek you more. Help us to consecrate our lives more to you and to your service, for we know you're coming again. Father, move upon our loved ones, we pray. Upon wives, upon husbands, upon sons and upon daughters. We claim them into the kingdom of God by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the devourer over every life tonight representative with this meeting house. Move upon that young man. Move upon that young woman. We ask that the Holy Ghost go to work upon them and convict them of sin and unrighteousness and draw them to thyself, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. We plead the words of the blood over everyone in this house tonight, over all that's near and dear to us tonight. We plead the words of the blood of the Lamb over them. We say, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, give us a greater compassion for fellow man and fellow women. Give us that thirst and that hunger after righteousness. If you say then that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We want you to fill us, Lord. We seek it tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, touch your people once again. Lord, your word's been preached tonight. No man can produce anything. But I believe, Lord, the same presence of the same Holy Ghost, you're real. You promised you'd confirm your word with signs, with wonders, and with divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm not going to ask nobody forward tonight. I was going to, but I'm just feeling something different. Is that alright? I want you where you're sitting. If you need a touch from God, if you have a condition on your own body, put your hand on it right now. And even if you just want prayer for somebody else, you lift your hand up to the Lord. I want you to believe God tonight. And I'm going to pray, and I want you to agree with me as I pray that God will move on the situation by the power of God. Praise God, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your ear is open to our cry. Lord, we ask that you will send your power upon those tonight. For the hands are raised in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Send your power upon them right now and deliver them and set them free. I bind every demonic power over their lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight by the power of your blood and the power of your word in Jesus' name. Lord, for those in this room that need a touch upon their body, may you touch that body now. May they know the healing virtue of Jesus Christ going through them. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke cancer. Lord, your prophet showed us cancer, the demon. It's a fake life trying to live as a real life. We curse it. We condemn it to death. And we condemn it to go in Jesus Christ's name tonight. We speak health upon that person. We speak strength upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we ask for a reversal. That the right blood cells will manifest. That the right blood cells will take control and begin to be strong and begin to manifest and begin to take over. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We speak your word in Jesus' name and we say it as though it's going to be in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Let your power come upon your people. Visit us in the days and weeks and months that lay ahead with the mighty visitation of the power of the Holy Ghost upon our own lives, upon our own homes, upon our children and in this meeting house. Visit us with the power of God, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, Heavenly Father, revive thy work in the midst of the years, we pray. Lord, we know you're coming again. Help us to be that people that's ready for the return of the Lord. Bless now everyone in this room. Lord, I pray you'll touch them in the name of Jesus. Confirm your word tonight with signs and with wonders and with miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Lord, we saw it done before. We know you can do it again. For you said you are the same. You said, prove me now, saith the Lord, and see if I'll not pour a blessing upon you.
that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is your word, Lord. We believe your word. We confess your word. We confess we're healed. We confess we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We confess the loved ones is going to come. We confess the power of God's moving. We confess the power of God's going to come amongst us. We've said and we believe it in Jesus Christ's name tonight. We cast down and we cast out all unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Father, touch your people, I pray. Bless the song leaders as they come. Bless the musicians as they come. Give us victory in every area of our lives. Give us victory in our homes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit our bodies to you. Fill every fiber of these beings with the power of the Holy Ghost. From the crown of our head to the shoes, the soles upon our feet, we pray. Let the power of God go through your people in Jesus Christ's name. Give them strength to the name of the Lord in Jesus Christ's name tonight. Lord, grant it, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you most of all for saving our souls. We thank you for lifting us from the dunghill, as it were, from out of the horrible pit, and you've set our feet on the King's highway, and you've put a song of praise and glory onto the lips tonight. Praise us unto thy lovely name. We love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Lord, you said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Lord, you've loved us tonight, and you want us to worship you and praise your name. Help us to praise you. Help us to worship you. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Lord, give our sister Carl strength tonight. Help her this time. Continue to strengthen her. Continue to bless her. Move upon her children, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Young men, take a grip of them by the power of Almighty God, then raise some of them to be preachers of the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Bless her sister, meet her every need, Lord. I pray. May you bring it in abundantly upon her, the blessing of the Lord, that make her rich and out of no sorrows. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Lord, for any here tonight or any has been praying for that has a hospital appointment, Lord, I say there'll be a good. In Jesus' name, Lord, give it a positive report, a good report. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Change the situation. Turn that young man around tonight. Turn that young woman around tonight. Lord, we take charge over their feet in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak to them, foul devils, to get off them. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and to turn them around to the house of God. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it, that you'll do it. For you said, anything we desire when we pray, believe ye have it, and it shall come to pass. That's your word. We believe your word, Lord Jesus. And we ask it tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn around and say, he's beside you. God's going to do it for me. Amen. God's going to do it.